Praise the Lord, everybody. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to a hockey stadium. You know, if you're from Pearland, and if you're into high school football, Allen is not really a good place to be. Neither is Euless, neither are several other cities up here. But I'm more of a fan of Jesus. And I just believe that God is in this place. What a honor, what a privilege to be in this place today and to share in the joy of North Texas and to see what God is doing in your midst. We love the flowers, the hollies, your district board, your department directors. Y'all have got the greatest preachers. You've got the greatest churches, the greatest people. I was sitting there thinking that it's less than 25 years ago, I was youth president of a district. By the way, on my youth committee are these two superintendents that were just introduced. And a couple of your district board members were on our youth committee. We had a great youth committee. We had a great committee, great leaders. But I just sat there and I thought, less than 25 years ago, I was youth president of a district. And Brother Scoggins can say this as well. That is now four districts. And that's pretty staggering when you think about it. And you can look at it one of two ways, I guess. You can look at it like we really don't like each other. Or you can say, we know that Texas is huge. And we know that the cultures are different, not one better than the other. But this district, the 25 million souls in the state of Texas, deserve everything we can possibly do to reach this state with the gospel. Are you part of that team? Are you part of the team to depopulate hell in Texas and to populate heaven and to say we want every Texan, every Tejano, we want every culture, we want everybody in this district to go to heaven? Would you stand if you believe it and shout yes to the Lord right now? Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God! Just remain standing a moment. It is an honor to stand here. It's an honor. My wife is here with me and dear friends, deep friends all across this building. Several young men out of our church that pastor now in North Texas. And I'm just thankful. I'm an incredibly thankful person for what God has done in our midst. If you're thankful, why don't you look at your neighbor right now and just tell them, I really want to give you $1 million. If I had it, I'd give it to you. I'd just give it to you. And then this choir and praise team do an amazing job tonight. Woo, give it up for them. Wow. I do believe North Texas, we live in prophetic times. Perhaps the most unusual time in man's history. And what we say should match our day. There are only two direct comparisons that Jesus gives to our day, as it was in the days of Noah, the days of the pre-flood world in the time of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot and those twin cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. No comparison with Dallas-Fort Worth, I'm sure. But I sense an indirect comparison to another time in Scripture. And maybe, I've walked with this for the last 2 weeks, a word for this district. It's a one word, but I just feel it on my heart and I can't get away from it. But maybe there's another similarity that bears our focus and attention that we need to gaze at and look at. Tonight I'm going to contrast two trees, specifically the branches of those two trees and the seasons those branches represent. One of them is seen at the outset of Jeremiah's ministry in the very first chapter of the calling of the weeping prophet. We read of both his calling and of a testing. Jeremiah 1 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen. You passed the test. You saw what I wanted you to see. For I will hasten my word to perform it." I will hasten my word. I want everybody in this room, under the sound of my voice, you need to prepare for the hastening. It's here. You need to prepare for it. Would you clear your hands? Would you lift your face toward heaven? Raise a voice to this roof right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's take it a little louder right now in this building. With all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Oh, challenge accepted at North Texas Summit. I want to accept this challenge, oh God. I want to accept the challenge that you have for us tonight, God. I give you praise and glory. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. Now, folks, I am from Texas. My wife's a daughter of the Texas Republic. Her family fought in the Alamo, have counties named after them. Me, we got here running from the law, I'm sure. I have no idea, though, if it's true. You've probably heard this, too. How many are you, of you were born and raised in Texas? All right. Okay. All right. Then you've heard this. That someone probably addicted to Western ballads tried to give a message in tongues one night. And it came out like this. Come a kai-yai, yippee-yippee-yay. Yippee-yay. Come a kaya, yippee yippee yay. The translation was in keeping with the message. He said, "Get ready, folks. We're headed for the last roundup." I do believe discernment of spirits notwithstanding. Folks, we're headed for the last roundup. I believe I'm looking at the last generation. I believe that I am looking at the generation upon whom the ends of the world have come. I believe that I'm looking at the generation that's been given a torch of truth, and it's your and my job that we've got to end this thing. And I want to end it not with a whimper. I don't want to end it with a sigh. I don't want to end it with a groan and with a moan or with carnality, but I want to end this thing with all of the passion that we can have. Oh, I wish a little fire would start burning in somebody's belly in this house right now. I wish somebody would stir up the gift on the inside of you. I wish somebody would say, "This is our day. This is our hour. We are the people. This is our city, and we come to take it back." I hear the swift approach of the thundering hoofbeats of the apocalyptic horsemen. I believe this church is going to go out as a fearsome army with banners, not cowering in the foxholes of self-pity. I believe the same courage and boldness and willingness to sacrifice seen in the first church of the book of Acts, I believe we can see it in the Metroplex today. I believe God has raised up a generation that's not afraid of a challenge. I believe God is raising up a generation that says it can't get too steep, and it can't get too tough, and it can't get too hard. Because as your days are, so shall your strength be. He will lash your feet with shoes of iron and brass. And when the going gets rough, there's greater strength. There's greater power. I wish somebody would shout yes to the Lord. I want you to know, we're not alone in this, folks. We are laborers together with Him. And just as the enemy gets busier when he knows his time is short, how much more with a lion of tribe of Judah show up and show out in these last days? God is up to something big, folks. It's something big. I see revival all over DFW. I see revival in these five sections. I see revival in the places that were once called burnover fields, that you can't go there. Nobody's ever had revival there. Get ready, folks. We're headed for the last roundup. And this thing is going to be powerful. And this thing is going to be marvelous. And this thing is going to be exceptional. I've sensed it in the last few days. I just went online. Here's what I'm sensing in the Holy Ghost. Does that bother you that I say that? This is what I'm sensing in the Holy Ghost. Breakthrough. I'm sensing a breakthrough like never before. Strongholds broken. Walls crumbled. Paradigms and perspectives of starvation mentalities and poor old pitiful Pentecostals is leaving. Prodigals coming back. There are not enough buildings in this district to hold the backsliders in these cities, and I believe they're coming back. I believe they're on their way back. Woo! I'm telling you right now, heaven's GPS has already identified the longitude and latitude of every Cornelius in your city. Heaven already knows where every Lydia is at. Heaven already knows where future Apostle Pauls are. And we just need to open up. Heaven's starting to show up in a way that we can't imagine. Revival is not coming. Revival is here. Woo! We're not naive. We're not naive. We know that where there's an open door, there is an adversary. And we know in the last days, we're laboring against the spirit of the Antichrist that's already at work in our world. And we know that the Antichrist, this man of sin, will seek to change the times and seasons. That he'd like to take a season of blessing and turn it into a season of blasting. He would like to get you so perplexed, so confused, so fatigued, so distracted, so repositioned that you miss the channel of God's blessing that is flowing through your midst. Maybe that's where some of you are at right now. You've prayed until your tongue is dragging the ground. You've shouted until you're hoarse. You pulled out your shofar and you blew it until your lips are chapped and raw. You stood on promises until you got blisters and bunions. But to you I say, faint not, doubt not, fret not. It's coming. I'm telling you, there's a freight train. There's a freight train of the Holy Ghost that's moving in our midst right now. There's a power and an anointing from heaven. Yes, it will break every yoke of bondage. There is power in this building. You don't have to leave here with your head held in shame and with your shoulders tucked down. Get your shoulders back. Get your chin up. Set your face like a flint and get ready. I'm telling you, we're walking through miracle country. And like Abraham, you got to go before you know. And like Noah, you got to perform before the storm. And like Israel, you better fight the fright. You need to get your spiritual antenna up. Like those centuries-old windmills in Holland, when there's not enough wind, you need to put more sails out. Because surely, I sense a breeze blowing in the top of the mulberry trees. Verily, I see angelic chariots of fire encircling the people of God. Truly, I know the God of the treetops and hilltops. He's the God of my valley. And even here, I can hear the echo and the sound of an abundance of rain. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get yourself ready. Clothe yourself in might and power and say, this is our day. This is our hour. Time out for a little praise break in the house. Is that all right? Just a little praise break. Woo! You can't tell it like I can tell it. What the Lord has done for me. You don't know like I know how he set me free. You got a story. You got a song. You got a shout. You got a dance. Give it to the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Two trees. God wanted Jeremiah to consider. Jeremiah, a new season is coming. A way that no one has ever been before. The changing of the guards, and don't you ever doubt it. The old going out will always fight the new coming in. When there's a new thing and a new season, just get ready. It was Jeremiah's first vision in his test. God compared that new season coming to the blossoming of an almond branch. But before we can really even wrap our minds around what that means, before we can grasp its significance, I want to turn from the weeping prophet to the man of sorrows. Turn from the almond tree. And I want to look at another tree, the fig tree. While teaching on the Mount of Olives, Jesus said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know, summer's coming. You can tell summer is nigh by the behavior of the fig tree. It'll start putting out leaves, and then tender branches start reaching skyward. The parable is, of course, related to the last days, but it also teaches us something. Here's the lesson of the fig tree. God works incrementally. Moses asked, God, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, Exodus 33. David prayed four times, the 25th Psalm, verse 4, 5, 8, 9. Teach me your ways. Micah said, in the last days, nation will come to the Lord with a request. Teach us your ways, Micah 4, 2. God does not perform in a single way. He moves in a variety of ways. And one way God can work is pictured in the fig tree. It's incrementally. A tender branch, a leaf. A tender branch, and Jesus said, when you see that happening, you know that summer is coming. Gradually, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how God led his people of Israel incrementally. God could have delivered Israel from the Egyptian captivity in a moment, but he took 10 plagues. God could have led them to Canaan quickly. In Deuteronomy 1, Moses said, it's only an 11-day walk. But God led them the long way, Exodus 13, because they were not strong enough to face the enemy in Canaan. God could have given them the entire promised land in a moment. He said in Numbers 23, no, that's not how I'm going to do it. I will not drive them out in a single year. I will drive them out little by little. I just want you to stop and say, it's line upon line, it's precept upon precept. God adds daily to the church such as should be saved. This is the way, one of the ways God works. I'm thankful God works with me and you incrementally. He could His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That if I'm never going to know the end of my life. I'm never going to know what next year looks like. I won't know what 5 years look like. But I've got the word, and it will show me one step. And guess what? If I take that step of obedience and faith, then I've got enough light for another step. There's some of you that the next step is to step out of your boat and your comfort zone. Oh my. And to get out into the deep. But you've been hesitating to take that step. I wish you'd say, challenge accepted, Lord. I'm going to take that step tonight. I'm going to do it. We move from the milk of God's word to the meat. We put away childish things, walk in maturity. We grow one day at a time, one prayer at a time, one sacrifice at a time. Don't get discouraged when the enemy tells you you're never going to be what you should be. You just look at the enemy and say, yeah, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And because every day, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you from all of your sin. You are a moving target. You're not the person you were yesterday or last year. You're becoming something different. God works in nature the same way, incrementally, the light of the new day. God could stop the sun in the sky. He's done it before. But learn the lesson of the fig tree. A new season usually comes gradually and slowly. That's the lesson of the fig tree. Amen? But that's not the only way God moves. And learn the lesson and the parable of the almond tree. In Israel and the United States, the very first deciduous tree to bloom is the almond tree. It's the first one that says, winter is over. And it never comes gradually. Overnight, there's a sudden blossoming. Regardless of what my circumstances say, regardless of what the weather report says, regardless of who's in the White House and who's not in the White House, regardless of whether the fig tree blossoms or not, whether the barn is full or not, I've got another promise that God can suddenly shift my season. He can shift it in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. Now, I'm trying to slow down here, but it's going to be hard for me to stay slow much longer. Let me give you this. God's symbol for a new season, the Hebrew word for almond is shaked. It's derived from a word that means to awaken or to watch. The almond tree was the watchman and the harbinger that winter is over and the spring has come. It was the first to awaken from the cold clutches of winter and say, get ready, folks. Something new is on its way. This old ugly canvas of gray and black, it's about to be over. I see the primary colors coming back out. I see an anointing on its way. I see a new season and a new day coming. Woo! I'm trying to behave myself here. I read the story last week of a man who went out while there was snow on the ground in January in Israel. And he turned around and looked, and the almond tree had blossomed in the midst of a snowstorm. Almost as if to say, just ignore what you're seeing right now. I got my eyes on a different clock. I got my eyes on the sun rising in all of its strength. Don't you look around and don't you dare listen to the naysayers around you. I don't need any outside evidence. I don't need a pat on the back because I've learned the lesson of the almond tree is that when God says it's time, and suddenly God shows up in our... You say, preacher, but you said God works incrementally. He does. But learn the ways of God. He can also work suddenly. Jeremiah, what do you see? I don't see a fig tree. I don't see incremental change coming. I see an almond tree. I see sudden and rapid change taking place. Oh, I know I'm coming up against some resistance that says we need to hold the fort. We need to hang on. We need to pull up the drawbridges. We need to man. What you got inside of you is greater than that that's outside of this building. You need to hold on and say, my change, it's coming. And when it's come, I'm telling you, you're not going to recognize me. You're not going to recognize my family. You're not going to recognize our church. If they would, I want them to put that scripture, our text, again on the screen. You're going to see two words capitalized there. Jeremiah, what do you see? I see the rod of an almond tree. Thou hast well seen, because I will hasten my word to perform it. Almond and hasten. Almond and hasten. Now look at those words in the Hebrew. Almond and hasten. You don't need to be a Hebrew scholar to notice that the letters are the same. Tiny markings, those are called vowel points. They differ. One thing you need to know about Hebrew, there are no vowels, only consonants. Different words can look identical on the printed page, but when they're pronounced, you sense there's a different words. Almond, shaked, hasten, shakad, and shaked actually comes from the root word of shakad, no accident, God is saying, as surely as you walk out one winter morning and you see the blossoming of an almond branch and you know that winter is over and spring is over and spring is coming, I got my eye on my promises. I know everything that I've promised you. And just as surely as you're shocked when the almond tree blossoms, you're going to be shocked when I hasten my word and I fulfill that promise that I've... Ooh. Now, Brother Gurley, don't you do this. Oh, honey, I'm about to do this. I'm about to do this. Because I couldn't care less if you think I'm a picture-perfect preacher. I got a message burning on my heart for North Texas. And I've got to tell you, think not in 4 months and then cometh the harvest. It is accelerating. It is moving. It is expedited. It is hastening. It is racing. I wish, you know what? I love doctrine. I'm a doctrinal preacher. I love to preach doctrine. But get the doctrine of suddenly in your repertoire. Use 40 times in the Bible, 30 in the old, 10 in the new. We are people of the almond branch. We are people of the suddenlies. Day one, light. Day two, atmosphere. Day three, dry land and seas. Day four, sun, moon, stars. Day five, creatures in the water and sky. Day six, creatures on earth and man, and each was marked with a suddenly. When Ezekiel preached to the dry bones, there was an incremental work of bones coming together. But as he began to breathe and preach, just the expulsion of air, the ruach, the pneuma, as the preacher preached, another wind began to blow. And suddenly there was a shaking, and the dormant came alive, and the dead was resurrected. I call Christ alive in this building right now, and I say he's bigger than any dead thing in this house, and any broken promise, and any shattered dream. Woo! Isaiah said it. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth out of my mouth, God said. Out of my mouth. And I showed them, and I did them suddenly. And they came to pass. When Aaron and Moses, when Miriam and Aaron rose up against Moses, God smote them, Numbers 12, suddenly. You better be careful to get under godly authority. You better be careful to lift up the hands of your Moses. I want to be under the hands of my Moses, lifting him up. I feel that. I feel support in this building. I feel unity in this house. That's the prelude to a Pentecost in the Metroplex. It's coming! Hezekiah, what are you doing? We're going to have revival in Israel. What you going to do? I'm going to get things in order. And when he began to set things in order, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 29, it came together suddenly. Babylon fell. Jeremiah 51, oh, big bad Babylon. Oh, big bad Babylon. And I know the spirit of Babylon is alive today, but oh, big bad Babylon, don't you ever forget, Jeremiah 51:8, it fell suddenly. Overnight, gone. I believe the strongholds over these cities, if they hadn't been prayed down by now, they're coming down. I believe whatever's been holding you back, it's coming down right now. It's happening in this house. One angel singing its heart out in the Bethlehem night sky, and suddenly all the angels of heaven said, you're not the only one that gets to sing this night. And the crowd and the sky, I don't know if you believe in angels. Does anybody believe? I'm an angel believer. I believe they're ministering spirits sent to those that believe. I'm gonna tell you how much I believe it. I believe that same golden ladder that Jacob saw at Bethel, that golden ladder is coming down right now in this building. I believe angels are cascading, tumbling, and falling into this house with gifts from heaven. And you better believe I'm not going to sit there like this. I'm just not going to do that because heaven's got something for me in this house. Oh, come on, apostolics. This is your day. This is not a day to get on the back road. This is not a day to hang your head in shame. This is not a day to run and hide. This is a day to stand up and shout the glory of God. There is a suddenly. Oh, Brother Gurley, get in the New Testament. Okay, 42 times Mark uses the word, 11 times in the first chapter alone, straightway, immediately, suddenly. Jesus heals the sick suddenly. I'm telling you, healing can happen right now while I'm preaching. You don't need the super anointed person to come in from half a world away to speak a magical, mysterious word on you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All you've got to do is say, I believe, I believe. Do I have any believers in this house? I'm about to get in trouble. You have to come bail me out, folks. I'm about to get in trouble. And I don't believe it takes all night to cast out a devil either. In fact, I worry about people that delight they stayed up all night casting out a devil. It makes me doubt your experience with God. And it makes me doubt if a devil ever left that person in the first place. You know what? You got the authority. I read on the shore of Gadara, a man with a legion of devils. Not even 6,000 devils could keep that man from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me, child of God. You've got more power in your little fingernail than what the enemy has. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to finish this. I know that. But at Caesarea at midnight, suddenly, and don't you ever forget this thing we call the church. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Just stay standing. I got one more thing to say, and I'm almost through. I just feel impressed to say this. I don't know what this about this building that makes me want to say what I'm about to say. It's a dozen years or so ago that I got a call at 3:30 in the morning. Brother Haney and I were somewhere preaching a meeting, and Brother Haney said, "Ken, are you up?" I said, "No, Bishop, it's 3:30 in the morning." And he said, "Come downstairs. I've already jogged. I'm drinking coffee downstairs. They made a fresh pot. Get down here." 3:30 in the morning. We had gone to bed at 1. And I got downstairs. And he said, "Ken, you're going to do a drama in Los Angeles at the Centennial of Azusa. You're going to do a drama. It's an old boxing arena that we're going to do that drama in. And I want you to do that drama." I was thinking logistically, how do I get, how? He said, "You're going to do it, no excuses." "Well, what do? You do it." We went out there. I'll never forget that Thursday night. Barely had the sound set up. Lights were sort of working. We were 20 minutes into that drama, and all of a sudden they started singing at Azusa. "I remember when my burdens rolled away." One of the preachers out of a church, some of you were there, one of the preachers out of our church, his name is Zeke. And Zeke was singing it in Azusa Street, and I was watching his feet. And I said, "If he does that thing with his feet, this thing is over." He behaved himself, got through the first verse. When he hit that second verse, those feet started going. I knew we were done. It was over. Service was over. We weren't going any further in that drama. As they began to worship, the crowd began to worship, and there were about 7,000 people in the building that night. Everybody just began to praise God and magnify God. My brother, Vaughn, was running the sound, and I started hearing some feedback, what I thought was feedback, and I tapped Vaughn on the shoulder and said, "Vaughn, I'm hearing feedback. I'm hearing lots of feedback." He started trying to isolate all the many mics that were on the platform. He just got frustrated, and he figured everybody's shouting, they won't know. And he reached up and pulled the sliders all the way down, and we could hear that sound. It was like a roar of a tornado coming through that building. I took off my headset, laid down my script, and just stepped back and said, "I've always wanted to hear this my entire life." By the time the lights came up, 700 had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night. Would to God. Would to God that in this building, a roar would come through this house. A suddenly would come into this building. Huriyamabahai. I'm hastening it. I'm hastening it. There's a hastening. Every promise that has been promised, its fulfillment is being hastened. There is a hastening taking place in the Metroplex and in this house. There is no telling what's going to happen in here tonight and tomorrow. If the Lord tarries his coming, there's no telling what God is going to do. But you listen to me, child of God. You listen to me. I have a question for you. How do you see? What do you see? Do you anticipate? Jeremiah, this is your testing. If you don't see right, I can't use you. What do you see? I see the sudden blossoming of an almond branch. And God said, because you have every promise that I've ever given to you and I've ever given to my people, I'm hastening to perform it. You know what I sense in the spirit in this room right now? Sense this in the Holy Ghost. I'm not halfway through this message, but I don't really mind. Because the Holy Ghost is here right now. Do you know what I sense in this building? I don't want to come across as too weird. Weird's okay, but not too weird. But it's almost like I see a canopy and a cloud. Promises suspended over you that have been there for generations. Prophecies that have gone out over you and your family, over your church family, and over your city. And it's like that canopy is just falling lower and lower and lower in that you drew it down. You drew it down because without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible for heaven to come down. But your faith is drawing down a canopy of promises right now. And all God is waiting for is for someone to lift their faith like a lightning rod. And say, it's mine, God. It's mine. There are ministries being born in this building right now. There are new churches being born in this building right now. There are new fresh harvests being born. They're claiming it right now. Holy Ghost is coming down. Can I obey the Holy Ghost right now? I'm telling you tonight, not because I'm here or I've said something profound. No. I'm telling you tonight is a watershed moment. It is a divide taking place right now. The fig tree mentality or the almond tree mentality. How many of you believe with all of your heart, though it may take years since the promise was given, that when God gives the promises fulfillment, it can happen in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye? I sense you believe it in this building. One last thing. I sat on the platform in Lufkin 20-odd years ago. Randy Keyes was preaching. He was 45 minutes into his message when Brother Keyes stepped back from the pulpit and went, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but he began to say, I prophesy that there's someone in this room, you're about to see a great revival. And if I remember correctly, he said 100 souls. I was sitting on the platform as a presbyter. I leapt to my feet and I crawled up in my chair and shouted, let it be me, God. Let it be me. Brother Foster stood. Brother Foster came running down the aisle saying, let it be me. Let it be me. Could it be? Could it be that what you've seen in the last few months came from a simple act of faith, shouting, let it be me, let it be me, let it be me. I went home. I got embarrassed after I stood. We're only human. I got embarrassed. I was the only one standing, if I remember, on the platform. I crawled down between the chairs and I waited until everybody left, Brother Foster, until the lights. I heard the vacuum cleaners going. Then I slipped out beneath the platform. I was embarrassed. And I thought, Ken, how dare you? You're bringing shame. But I found an altar early the next morning and God just kept burning inside of me. I got home and told my church, and one of the elders on our board, been on our board for 40 years, still on our board. When I told that story, he stood up and said, I agree. That's all a young preacher needed, was one elder to believe. 1 month later on a Friday night, 21 got the Holy Ghost. On a Saturday night, 31 got the Holy Ghost. On a Sunday morning, 17 got the Holy Ghost. And on Sunday night, 42 got the Holy Ghost. Let it be me! Let it be me! Do you need a miracle? Let it be me! Do you need God to make a way out of no way? Let it be me! Hasten. Hasten right now. As many of you as can, get out of the risers, get away from the back, and press forward. Press in as close as you can right now. I feel a suddenly in this building. I feel an anointing in this house. I feel like the Holy Ghost is gonna flow and is gonna pour out in this building. You need the Holy Ghost. Get down here. You need a miracle? Come down here. Everybody, you may not be able to make it all the way, but get as far as you can. Take a step of faith. Move in faith. And say, God, you're going to make a way. Come on, church. I can't hear you right now. Let it be me. Let it be me. Miracles are in this building. Anointing is in this house. The flow of God is in this place. The favor of heaven is in this room right now. It's happening. Let the canopy of promises descend. Let the miracles begin to fall in this building. Let provision come down right now. Let healing virtue and the balm of Gilead begin to flow in this building like a river. Let miracles happen. Heart disease, you've got to go. Cancer, you've got to go. Sickness, you're vanquished under the mighty power of the name of Jesus. Blessings come down. Cursings leave. Enemy, you're not welcome here. I have an anointing. I have favor. I've seen the almond tree. I've seen the blessings begin to flow.